You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network. It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around.
You look at this play where they're trying to get it, a seal here, and a seal here, and try to run this play in the alley. What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us packerstotalaccess@gmail.com. Text us 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay. Want to just go ahead and apologize for the voice. It's going quick here. I think it's a combination of doing, I don't know, about 32 straight hours of streaming. And then, of course, the allergies taking over down here, Tim. But how you doing, Bob?
Here we go.
went in hard with the live stream, right? We did like a week's worth of streaming in like 3 days. Yeah,
man,
that was a first for me. And again, thank you for inviting me in, man. This was great. I've never been as prepared for a football season, I think, in my life. So yeah. this is new to me, and I'm just grateful, man. It was a blast, dude. It was a blast, and the fact that our GM absolutely smacked this draft out of the park, in my opinion, feels pretty good. I know there's some mixed reviews out there, but I couldn't be happier about this draft. And this is me being a guy. A lot of my guys didn't get picked up. So,
right.
And I'm still super excited about this team and some of these undrafted free agents we got as well, not just the guys that we drafted. So, Goody is clearly in the kitchen cooking, and we're getting ready to go ahead and bring Lombardi home in 2024 for sure.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, no, I'm very excited about the team they're putting together. The big thing that sticks out to me watching some of the film on these guys is everybody they drafted defensively looks really, really aggressive. There's been times in the past like, oh, he's finesse. Wow. He's what they call it, poetry in motion. These guys are just attack, attack, attack. It's really cool to see. So I'm excited about continuing to break those draft picks down as we move forward here into the offseason a little bit deeper. And before we know it, man, we said this a couple months ago, before you know it, the draft's going to be here. And now we're saying it, before you know it, training camp's going to be here. It's right around the corner, man. It's not as far away as people might think. So I'll tell you something else that's coming up too, is that schedule release. It looks like it's going to be probably the second week in May. They don't have the exact date yet. I know we got a chat in here I wanted to hit on real quick too. And that's our boy, too old for this, in the chat said, came in here talking a little bit, said, I've had the Home Depot song stuck in my head since Saturday. Thanks, Packernet family. I don't know what he's talking about, Tim. I've had several people bring up the Home Depot theme song, and I'm like, wait, it's like the Mandela effect, you know? I'm like, where are you guys hearing this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We couldn't be here, right?
No, not at all. Like, it's just weird. It's weird how it popped up all of a sudden. So, I don't know, man, but I do know this. It is a catchy tune. So might have to hop over to YouTube and listen to it after the show. So
we could just keep it running in the background the whole time, right? The theme music.
Bro, I'm telling you, when we played it to Oladapo's highlight reel, it that thing was slapping, dude. It was absolutely awesome.
I love it.
The scattered, muffled laughs as we went through was just, guys, it's money, man. Absolutely classic. So, all right, let's see here. M. Smitty said Clayton out here trying to gaslight the posse. I don't know what I did already. But we got a bunch to get into. Let's start with this. Let's go to a quick video of LaFleur talking about creating competition with this draft class. And he was just kind of, this was just, I think, a little cut up that Packers.com did of his presser. And it's pretty quick. And then we've actually got a sit down that's about 5 to 7 minutes long with Larry McCarron. And boy, let me tell you, that pinky is flared up in this video. You guys need to brace yourself. But let's see what Coach LaFleur had to say on this little cut up here from Packers.com.
Well, that's always the goal, is to bring in as much talent as possible. And now it's our job to maximize the talent and try to push these guys to new limits.
He's got Jackson deep. Got
it! Doesn't matter necessarily whether you're a second round pick or you're a UDFA. I mean, our job is to find the best players to go out there and compete at a high level, and everybody's going to get an opportunity.
Kalen King is right there.
I'm a firm believer that you can never have enough competition. It's going to bring out the best in somebody in that room. And so I do think that when our guys are pushing one another, they're going to get better.
Hit again and dropped again.
That's what we're really excited about.
Well, they wanted competition. They got it because it's all across the board, man. I actually pulled up our lads here in the depth chart and just to kind of see what people are projecting already. And again, this really doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, we don't know exactly how the depth chart's going to fall into place until we get closer to camp. But one thing that sticks out to me right off the bat, our lads is projecting Jordan Morgan to be the starting left tackle. That wouldn't surprise me one bit, Tim. Again, I know many people automatically want to project him to guard, and I can see that. I can see him being a really good guard if you needed to put him over to right guard. You feel a little bit better than him, than Sean Ryan. But, you know, we kind of took a little heat last year talking about Rasheed Walker. We thought he played pretty good, but not quite as good as some people were trying to cherry pick stats, and more specifically his pass blocking stats, right? His run blocking, not as good, right? And again, I think he is a legit left tackle, but when you talk about what Jordan Morgan could potentially do in the running game, that really doesn't surprise me that they may be seeing him as a starting left tackle. The other thing that sticks out too, Tim, is a couple other rookies projected to start. They've got Edgerrin Cooper at the mic on here and Quay at the wheel. And then, of course, they got Javon Bullard as free safety, which they kicked over Xavier McKinney to strong safety. Some people see that and they go, whoa, is that the way it should be? It's so interchangeable in today's game. And I truly believe that if Oladapo comes out in camp and plays like we've seen him play at the college level, you're probably going to see some big nickel looks where you're going to have three safeties. And what we mean by that is you take the slot corner off the field and you replace him with a safety that can kind of play as an extra backer there, if you will, right? That type of thing. So, you know, there's other combinations that you could throw into it. We won't go too in-depth. But I really like the way this looks as far as the projection of the rookies. You see they've got Tyron Hopper, linebacker that the Packers drafted. They've got him projected as the backup weak side linebacker. They've got Oladapo as the backup strong safety. They got Evan Williams as the backup free safety. Kalen King's another one to watch out for. He was one of the best cornerbacks in college football in 2022. Had a down year last year. I know a lot of people are talking about him as well. So anything stick out to you there, Tim, before we get to some more videos here as far as the step chart? Kind of interesting to see some of these rookies already projecting to be starters, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, everyone develops at different rates, right? You know, some guys can come in and they can be effective right away. Usually that's a little more rare than the guys who need a little bit of work. You know, going back to tackle, you know, Rasheed Walker, I mean, it's competition all over the board, right? We talked about the season that he had last year. There's people that are higher than us on Rasheed Walker. There's probably people lower than us on Rasheed Walker.
Right.
My question is, you know, who's going to come out on top at camp. And if it is Jordan Morgan, then that's your starting left tackle. It's really that simple. Now, if it's not, we do have versatility on that O-line by design. Goody has mentioned that multiple times, that he likes versatile offensive linemen. So, you know, Zach Tom's not the only guy that can move around. We have a couple other pieces now, too, that can do that. So, and I think when it comes to our secondary on defense, it's exciting to see the talent that we have back there now, because, you know, particularly with safety, you know, we already talked about going, you know, flying with three safeties here a lot of the time and rotating guys in. Plus, we have versatility. You know, Bullard is a guy you can also play in the slot. That gives us some depth there. I wonder about guys like Anthony Johnson Jr., some of the lower depth chart guys already on the roster in the secondary. Perhaps they get flexed and moved around. So versatility is something that is a running theme, I think, both offensively and defensively with this team. And, you know, you combine that with what Coach LaFleur just said about competition, and you're bound to have your best guys on the field every snap. You know, that's what the ultimate goal is, right? Your best 11 out there, strong legs, fresh legs, that whole deal. But I'm excited about these draft picks, and I do feel like I don't know if for sure Edrin Cooper's the mic. I know that's how it's being projected right now.
Right.
I think Quay's got 2 years of NFL experience under his belt. Granted, all these guys are going to be in a new system this year, but when it comes to comfortability and leadership, I think Quay is slowly growing into his own as a veteran player and leader in this league. We're in the early stages of that. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of corrals this linebacker room. Cause in my opinion, it's his linebacker room when it comes to the off ball guys, the stack backers. And I just want to see his leadership. And I think he'll probably start with the green dot, to be honest. That's just my opinion, but we'll see how camp goes. You never know. That can change really quick too. Right.
Right, yeah, and I could see that too. I really could. The thing I noticed on Edrin Cooper's tape, and we've got Chalk Talk ready. We've got so much content to get to right now. We're going to hold that off for a little bit. I'm not really concerned with trying to be the one of the first to get the tape watch out there. We want to make sure that we're kind of walking through this process in an orderly fashion through the off season and making sure we got content for y'all on a daily basis. But Coach Lim, back to linebacker, watching watching Edrin Cooper, there was many times he played Mike. It really surprised me how often he was at Mike. Now, you don't see a whole lot of highlights from him playing that hook zone, right? Playing like coverage. What you do see is a lot of sugar spine, right? You've seen him blitzing off the edge a couple of times. I've seen that in the highlight reel. There was times that he dropped in a short zone, but it was more attacking things underneath. I think when you think of the mock, you got to have someone who can really kind of run that seam. If for some reason you do decide to throw in a little Tampa 2 or something like that, they've got to have good enough coverage skills to be able to. We know he's got athleticism. It's can he cover a tight end, right? And that's kind of what your mock is going to do in that nickel 4-2-5, or if they do go to, like we said, more of a big nickel where you're going to have three safeties instead of that slot corner. The same thing applies. Typically, your mock is going to be the one who's responsible for covering that tight end, and that frees up the weak side backer. That's the whole point of your most athletic linebacker being the weak side backer. But watching the tape of Edrin Cooper, I could see him playing Mike, but I'm with you. If it were me right out of the gate, I would much rather have Quay wearing the green dot playing Mike and let Edrin Cooper just kind of play free the way Quay was able to play free his first year, right? Yeah. You notice last year, our defense took a little bit of a step back. Quay was wearing the green dot. And it's a lot of responsibility, right, having that thrown on a young player. I'm not saying it hindered his ability to make plays, but you definitely felt like Quay was freed up more his rookie year when he was playing a little more with less responsibility. So it's like he steps into that leadership role like you're saying now. If you play him at Mike, let Edrin Cooper fly around, play half field, and make those backside plays for sure.
That's why I'm so excited to see Quay in that position in Halfley's system.
Yes.
You know, because we haven't seen that. So let's I'm trying to picture that in my head, you know, Quay as the mic and a Jeff Halfley, you know, 4-3. I guess time will tell. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it develops, but you're absolutely right. Edrin Cooper. I mean, the little bit of tape, I won't call it deep diving. I did a shallow dive into some Edrin Cooper film, and he is just, a freak of nature, man. That guy is just a monster. So I'm looking forward to seeing these linebackers, man. I'm so fired up for our defense. And I think that's why I'm so happy about this draft personally, is just the defensive players that Goody was able to grab for us.
Definitely. And switching over to the offensive line here, 2-0 for this says Morgan at left tackle and Monk at right guard seems like it'll work. You know, he obviously talking about Jacob Monk out of Duke, interior offensive lineman. We drafted him at 163. I finally worked him up because I hadn't worked him up at all into the board. He landed in the 259 spot, but it's nothing to shake a stick at, man. Like his PFF grade, he was the 193rd ranked guard in 2023, which isn't terrible in college football, right? He graded out somewhere in the 60s, but he had a 9-plus RAS. Now, that RAS, to the best of my knowledge, was at the center position. For whatever reason, they worked him up as a center. And again, that's why I don't like trying to project players and where they're going to play. I like to say, okay, where did they play their snaps? Let's focus on them being a prospect at that position. Then you can kind of key in on the versatility once they get to the next level. But I wouldn't be surprised if Monk gives Sean Ryan a run for his money at right guard. That would work for me for sure. Another one too, Travis Glover, you know, obviously going to be more of a tackle, I would imagine. He's a guy that, if I remember correctly, they traded up for Travis Glover, right? Was it Travis Glover or Jacob Monk that they traded up for? Do you remember, Tim? Because that was,
I think it was Glover. Hold on,
I think it was Glover too. I could be wrong though.
That was
who
fifth round?
Yeah, whoever it was, that shows you how much value they've seen in that player that they're willing to give up an extra pick to get him, right? So maybe they'll be kind of the front runner to compete at a little bit higher level for a certain job. If you find it, it's cool. No worries if you can't, man. Maybe the chat will have it here in a second too. Coach Lynn in the chat says Jacob Monk can compete at right guard from what I watched. His tape looked pretty good, man, going back and watching it. Elder Grimm says Mike Wall thinks Jacob Monk will be a starting center in a year or two. How cool would that be if Jacob Monk sits as a backup, you know, whether he's starting at right guard or he's just a backup offensive lineman this year, and for him to potentially be able to step into that center role next year if Josh Myers isn't re-signed, that would be really cool, you know, just to have that already in place right there.
That's O-line versatility right there.
Yeah, it looks like everybody's confirming here too.
Yeah, that's what it was, Monk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Brock in the chat said it was Monk. We traded up for Coach Lynn confirms too. So, yeah. That says a lot about a player, man, that they're willing to trade up like that. Again, you nab him at 163. You had to trade up to do that. Really says a lot about the value they see in Jacob Monk. So I love it, man. We've got all these shiny toys from rounds 1 through 3, and we're sitting here talking about the late round dudes, man. I love our listeners. Absolute nerds just like us. So pretty cool, man. Let's do this. Let's go to let's start off with the first round pick. We already kind of talked about him. Let's see what Goody had to say about Jordan Morgan when he sat down with Larry McCarron. Again, this is your pinky disclaimer, all right? If the crooked pinky from all the football days gross you out, might want to turn away from the camera. But here he is, Larry McCarron, sitting down with General Manager Brian Gutekunst to talk about the Jordan Morgan draft pick.
Everybody, we are joined by Packers General Manager Brian Gutekunst and Bryden Jordan Morgan. Why'd you like him?
Yeah, you know, big man, left tackle, really good athlete that can play out in space. I think he's got an ability to play all four positions for us. You know, he's been a left tackle mainly there, but we think he can move inside the guard. He's got power in his lower body, can move people off the spot, and then he's just wired like a Packer, right? Two-time team captain, just really good dude. I think he's going to fit in really well with our guys.
A couple of things about his physical attributes. 6'5", 311, so he's got good size. His hand's almost 11 inches, and that's nice for an offensive blocker. And the other thing was his 5.04 40, I believe. Does that say a lot about his athleticism?
Yeah, he tested very, very well, and that shows up on all the tape. And as people know, like what we like to do in our run game requires a lot of those guys athletically, and he can do that, whether it's from the tackle spot or from the guard spot. So, again, he checks a lot of boxes for us, not only as a player and an athlete, but as a person as well.
Could you talk some more about the position versatility? Is he kind of like the Zach Toms, Elton Jenkins of the world as far as potentially being able to move darn near anywhere?
Yeah, I think he is. Again, I think it's in the words potentially do that. He hasn't done that like some guys come out of college playing multiple spots. He's been a left tackle, and he started over 37 games, I believe, at Arizona. So he's been mostly a left tackle. But we certainly believe the skill set, his intelligence and his abilities will allow him to do that.
How did the night as a whole go? Were you looking at trade possibilities? Did the drafts kind of fall the way you anticipated? Were there surprises? How did the whole night go?
Yeah. No, it went well. Got to give our scouting staff, our personnel staff, a lot of credit. Obviously, a lot of work's put into building that board. It held up very well tonight. We looked at a lot of different options as we went through it, and I felt really good about those conversations. And, again, once it was time for us to pick, we were just really thrilled that he was there. And I'm excited that he's going to be a Packer.
Now, looking ahead to tomorrow, rounds 2 and 3, you have 4 picks, and we're talking premium players there. Last year, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, those types of players. You kind of excited for day 2 of the draft?
Yeah, I think our whole staff is excited just with the opportunity of what we can help this football team with, and bringing in some really good guys. So, again, it's an unpredictable thing. We hope it falls for us like we want. But it gives us some flexibility, I think, to move around if we need to. But we should be able to bring some more really good players into this locker room.
Brian, thanks for the time and best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
And for the latest on the Packers draft, keep it right here on Packers.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlowe, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right. So obviously, tell me if you came out with the, first of all, let me just ask you, I don't want to sway your opinion either way, Tim. Based off what Goody said there, do you think that Jordan Morgan could possibly kick inside, or do you think they see him more as just a left tackle?
I think the intention is left tackle for sure. Mm-hmm. But Goody loves the versatility. And I really think Matt LaFleur does too, especially when you're grinding through a season. Guys go down. It's not always catastrophic. Sometimes the guy misses a week. What are you going to do? Every Sunday matters. You know, having a rotational guy that can play more than one spot certainly helps. But I think when you're dealing with your first round pick like this, I think he was brought in to compete with Rasheed Walker. And who knows? That's a good problem to have. Maybe Rasheed Walker goes on balls out at camp this year. And we got two studs on the left side. And it's like, oh gosh, now what do we do? That's a good problem to have. So I do think the intent is to have him play left tackle. It's certainly going down the road in the future. But we'll see what happens, you know, once camp starts. But man, 11-inch hands, like Coach Len was saying, good Lord.
And there's some people that say, oh, what does that matter in blocking? It makes a big difference, a big difference. Get those big paws out there. I'm telling you, dude, there's a lot of grabbing that goes on the offensive line, right? You're taught, Coach Lynn knows this, stay inside the frame and grab, right? You're not going to get called for a hold if you're inside that frame and you're grabbing, right? And at least theoretically, when you got big hands like that, and again, punching someone with big hands as opposed to, you know, smaller, it makes a big difference. It really does.
And you combine that with his footwork. He's got excellent footwork already.
Yeah. His footwork looks amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I think as he grows, you know, into his NFL frame, I'm sure he'll add a little bit of little muscle as he gets in the pro lifting routine with our strength and conditioning and just grows into his own, man. He could really be a weapon there. And, you know, and it makes perfect sense. I don't understand why people were upset that we took him in the first round. It's like, you know, yeah, we lost Bach. We've been around that carousel merry-go-round with Bakhtiari in the rehab these past couple of years. Now it's official. So, you know, that's a big piece to lose. And, you know, you got to have weapons in the arsenal, right?
Definitely. R. Shower says, Morgan in the run game may show they may want to feature a more power running attack. I think that's possible. I think we'll definitely see more inside runs this year. What I'm expecting, Showers, is more duo as opposed to power. We kind of got away from duo last year. The year before, we ran a whole lot of duo. And really all duo is, the best way to explain it is vertical power, right? It's basically you're not going to have an offensive lineman change gaps, but it's a double-double, right? A double team, and then one break off, get to the next level, right? And they do it really, really well with inside zone on duo. It's just a nice little combination. They've kind of melded those two together, right? You like the vertical displacement of duo along with the versatility of that zone run scheme. I think it's something that it could come into play a little bit more. His feet are absolutely phenomenal, man. There's no doubt about that. Dave in the chat here, Dave's MX6 Garcia says, nothing beats PTA and grilling out on a nice Wisconsin night. And that's what I'm talking about. We appreciate you hanging out with us, buddy. One of my favorite things to do too. If I'm home in time, there's nothing better than cracking open an ice cold Daddy soda, firing up the smoker, and just hanging out on the back deck and listening to some sports podcasts, man. It's just the, you know, you're a papaw when you hit that level of life, right? We are. It's the way it goes. So, all right, let's see what we got here. Let's move on to round two, pick 45. All right, and this is Edgerrin Cooper, obviously. Which would you rather see first? Would you rather see his reaction to getting the call, or would you rather see the small highlight reel that the Packers put together, Tim?
Let's watch his highlights first. Right. Let's check out the reel.
I like it. So here is, like I said, pick 45. Obviously, the Packers traded down, still got their guy. This is Greg Cosell's top linebacker in the draft, Edgerrin Cooper. Last year, he played like an absolute demon. That dude was there was zero hesitation in his game. So much fun to watch. But like I said, here's a quick clip about Edgerrin Cooper from Packers.com.
With the 45th pick, the Green Bay Packers select Edgerrin Cooper.
Third down, pressure comes. Can't get out of that traffic.
They set up a screen, complete to Joyner. And a good tackle by your guy, Edgerrin Cooper.
He is a C-ball, get ball, hit ball linebacker.
Look out from behind. Down he goes. Ball is out.
What a hit by Edrin Cooper.
If he sees it, he's coming, and he's coming in a bad mood.
Cooper has another sack.
I love what Coach Lynn said. If you have children, take them out of the room. Here comes the Cooper highlights. I love what was it Larry that said it when he's coming in a bad mood. Absolutely love it, man.
You know, we talk about intensity. You know, we talk about more aggressive on defense, and you start to look at some of these picks, and you see what Goody's doing, right? You know, he's getting those weapons for Halfley. I mean, we could run back Halfley's press conference when he first got to town, and he talked about getting after the ball, creating turnovers, head down, being aggressive. Let's go. We're going to attack offenses, not sit back on our heels. Edrin Cooper is the absolute perfect piece for that type of a defense. That dude is one of those guys that just doesn't take a play off, and give me 11 of those guys on the field every time for sure.
Absolutely. Magic in the chat says recognize, play, and attack. The big thing I noticed on his tape, and it's in several different notes when we do chalk talk, start, stop, shoot. He looks so fluid, so natural. As soon as the ball snapped, he starts, he'll take, I don't know, a yard or two lunge, get in the right spot, stop, reset, and then bang, shoots a shot. It is phenomenal watching him attack. It's calculated. It's precise. You could tell he's thinking. You don't see him. He plays aggressive, but you don't see him take bad angles in like a selfish manner either.
Right.
He's always playing within the scheme. He knows. And I've seen this from Javon Bullard too. That tape was very similar, even from the safety position. Him flying up from 15, 20 yards away and filling alleys, filling gaps is absolutely wild. But they're always body lean in the right direction, where they're shielding off a blocker, they know where their responsibility is. There's nothing more frustrating to me than seeing someone play aggressive but not do it with the proper leverage on the player who's trying to block, because all you're doing is hurting your team when you play like that and over pursue.
Great gap discipline in the run fits too, I noticed with him. He's not fooled very often. I can't wait till we do chalk talk on him. Oh my gosh.
That's gonna be
so awesome.
The problem we're going to have is trying to keep it under 2.5 hours. That's going to be the issue we have, because there's plenty of stuff there. Doug in the chat said that hit on the quarterback was brutal. You've seen it all year long from him too, man. It was like every other game through the highlight reels was him just laying a quarterback out. Whether
was that one from behind where he came off the edge?
Yeah, and there was another one too where he caught up with the quarterback on the sideline and just smacked him. No penalties either. These are all clean hits.
That's what I was going to say about that one off the edge. If you really watch, I mean, it's violent. But, man, when he comes in, he does exactly what they're teaching these kids now. Is that head is up, the hit is – the impact is around here and in my shoulders. Just perfect form. It's like I'm sure the official reached for a flag, but he knew he couldn't throw it because it was clean.
Right, exactly. It's he's going to be a blast to watch, man. And, again, he's like a Quay Walker clone. He really is. How cool would it be that – you know, Quay a couple years ahead of him, if Quay's able to kind of explain to him, hey, look, here's some things that I screwed up on my rookie year. And I know we're both starting fresh in a defense, but hey, maybe whether it's preparation or whatever it might be, he's now got Quay with a couple years under his belts to help walk him through. Cause like I said, two of the fastest linebackers in the game, there's no denying that, man.
Yep.
They're going to be playing side by side. It's just going to be phenomenal. And you can't rule out Ty Hopper either, man. Tyron Hopper, someone who was really low on my board, but when you go back and watch it, he is just he's always in the right place at the right time type of guy. Now, again, this is college tape. We don't know exactly how these guys are going to project at the NFL level, but what you've seen in college is really, really nice for sure. We got the beard joining us here. Jacob, what's up, man?
What up? What up? You hear me okay?
Hey, we hear you good today, man.
Loud and clear.
Nice.
Live from the Audi. I like it.
No, I borrowed my dad's truck right now. Check this out, though. He brought me – that's the autographed Paul Horning football. Oh, nice. It's in a case. So we can give that away at some point.
Thank you, Pops. Awesome. Appreciate you if you're listening. That's absolutely awesome, man. We'll give that to a good listener here. We'll do a giveaway here real soon on that for sure. We're just in here kind of breaking down each prospect one by one, Jacob. talking about Edgerrin Cooper right now. How much time do you got? Are you on break or what?
Yeah, I got like 10, 15 minutes.
All right, cool. Here's a quick video on Edgerrin Cooper. Hopefully you can see it okay, Jacob. This is his reaction to being drafted by the Packers at the number 45 pick here.
Nice.
Put that hat on his head, man. Put that hat on his head, man. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Love it, dude. Absolutely awesome.
How can you not smile when you see that, you know?
I'm telling you, dude.
It's so great.
Here's what's crazy, too. We had this came down the pike earlier. I think it was Steve on Twitter, if I remember correctly. I apologize. I think Steve Cook is who sent it over to me. Andrew Brandt tweeted this out, and I'll read it for you, Jacob. I know you're trying to watch on your phone. Andrew Brandt said, Packer fans got this from a student who went to Texas A&M with Edgerrin Cooper. Quote, beloved and played through tragedy. So I'm going to click on the actual message here. Let me drop that comment down real quick. You'll get the banner for me. Well, I got it. Never mind. I got it, Tim. We're good. So it said, obviously being at A&M, I've seen him play for a few years, but he was beloved at A&M. His girlfriend passed away a few days before a game last season, and he was automatically raising money for her family while playing the game. I think the game that he played afterwards, a few days after it was announced, was one of his best games of the season. He's a very resilient player. I know this isn't a business of sports story, but given that he went to the Packers, I wanted to tell you a little more about him because I'm sure hearing, I'm sure hearing good things. So faced with adversity through tragedy, just seems like he's got a good heart. It's pretty cool, man. And again, one of those guys that you remember the book, I think that Ray Nitschke wrote, it was called Mean on Sunday, or someone wrote the book about him. Mean on Sunday was the name of the book, but outside of football, Ray Nitschke, obviously, Packers legend, was just one of the kind-heartedest people you'll ever meet. Someone who had a rough upbringing himself. I think his parents died when he was real young, if I remember correctly. Maybe his father did. And kind of cool seeing that. You hate to hear that Edgerrin Cooper went through that tragedy, but at the same time, the fact that he's resilient like that, Jacob, is pretty cool, man, having that guy on your defense, right?
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I think she died in like a freak four-wheeler accident or something like that. So it was something that was, I don't know if he was on the scene or whatever, but it was, yeah, it's one of those things. And it's kind of interesting that we've got a bunch of guys on our team. It seems that I don't know if it's by chance or, you know, by whatever you want to call it. But, you know, Jordan Love losing his father, multiple other people
Jake
losing
Marie.
Their
father.
Yeah, and we Michael obviously Pratt. Had Aaron Jones, Pratt. Yeah, that's crazy. So. It definitely tells you that those guys have dealt with adversity and can be resilient. So, I mean, it's like you said, he just seems like a really stand-up character, which every time it's so funny. I wish there was a way, a metric that said if, like, is this guy a good guy? Like, if an RAS score for
right.
Is he a good dude? Because I swear you could take at least fourths of the draft and cut them out completely. You know what I mean? Because if you're not a good person, it doesn't seem like the Packers will even really entertain much more than a visit, and that's about it. So, yeah.
Well, since we got you on here, we're going to jump right into the second round pick with the 58th pick. The Packers took Javon Bullard. I know John Schmidt in the chat said, I absolutely love Bullard. Quote, I'm an effing Packer. Love that. By the way, we played that live on the stream, and I didn't realize he said the F-bomb, so I apologize if there was children in the room. I thought he said, I'm a Packer backer or something like that. And then I went back and listened. I went, oops, there you go. Probably need to go back and flag that one inappropriate for children. But nonetheless, here is Javon Bullard's quick little cut up by Packers.com. I know Jacob's going to get excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
The Green Bay Packers select Javon Bullard, Georgia. And picked! Bullard has it! Georgia intercepts it! And the Bulldogs have the ball!
An absolute spark plug for the Georgia Bulldogs when he was down there, man. That dude plays the pass well. He plays – the thing that stood out to me the most with him, he'll be playing deep third. He'll be playing post safety, and there'll be a scramble or a pitch play or something, and he's the first person there. I'm like, how in the hell did he go from 25 yards away to just, I mean, blowing past everybody and making the tackle? It didn't happen once. It happened several times, and you'll see that on Chalk Talk. But we'll start here with you, Jacob. I know you're going to get off here real soon. I'm going to get your take on Javon Bullard. Tim, what do you think about Javon Bullard, man? Has it set in yet that you're crushed in the draft as a Green Bay Packer?
I mean, it hasn't. It hasn't because, I mean, I knew the things that I liked about him right away was just the way that he – I'm so sick of – we've talked about it for years, how our secondary, specifically some of our cornerbacks, they would stop and wait for contact to come to them. And a lot of times when that contact came, they were driven back 3, 4, 5, 6 yards if they even made the play whatsoever. And what's really cool, what's unique about this whole class, not even Bullard, but if you throw in Oladapo, if you throw in Williams, if you throw in our linebackers Hopper and Cooper, they are absolute missiles. Like they seem like they see the play, they recognize it, and then boom, they take an angle. And it doesn't matter. And like I heard Tim talk about, Edgerrin's so good at just not seeing a blocker. Javon's good at getting around blockers. It's like they don't even really engage. But what I like more about Javon more than anything, I said it more, you know, it's fun to watch him when the ball's in the air and when he's playing deep safety, but to me it's more incredible when he'll come up to the line of scrimmage, engage with a blocker, extend the hands, you know, break that block, and then make the play behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know how many times we saw him do it. We saw Edgerrin Cooper do it. So to get a whole class of guys, I mean, think about the fact that that secondary, it absolutely got transformed overnight with this. Well, I should say over three nights, but right now, I think the safety group, I mean, we don't have room to play them all. Like, I'm starting to think, like, right. Let's start, who's going to be the nickel? Who's going to be in there for some crazy packages where we're roaming, like, a third safety round? Like, that could be, think about, that's a great problem to have. You know, I heard Tim, I think, earlier, I was trying to listen while I was working, talking about the offensive line depth. What if we had two great left tackles? Or what if we have three great safeties? What an awesome luxury. Right. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's our GM turning a weakness into a strength, man.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. And again, the way that NFL defenses play now, it's not like anyone's okay. This is going to be your free safety. Here's going to be your strong safety. There's so much rotating that goes on in the NFL now. This is what really gets me excited. NDA Pack says, I still can't believe we have McKinney, let alone the rookie safeties. Going to be an awesome year. Like, well said. That hit me yesterday. I remember yesterday, I was sitting around kind of, you know, building content and stuff, put chalk up. Yeah. I'm like, We got the best safety in free agency too. This is absolutely awesome.
And my again, boy Anthony Johnson Jr. is thinking about playing corner.
Right. <now. laughs> Exactly. Jacob, you got anything else before we let you go, bub?
No, man. That's it. I just wanted to say, hey, one more night tomorrow, and then after that, I should have the next like 5 to 6 days off, so I'll be able to join.
Awesome, man. We're looking forward to it, buddy. You take care of business, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, guys. Go back.
All right. So anything else you want to add to Javon Bullard before we move on, Tim?
I'll just echo Jacob's sentiment because, I mean, he called this one. This was – we've been talking about Javon Bullard for months, and I'm just so excited that he's a Packer. But going back to what he was saying about, you know, we talk about guys getting off a block. It's like, well, we've got guys like Bullard, you know, and Cooper that's like they refuse to be blocked. You know, on a lot of these, I mean, I was watching, you know, him coming down in the box, seeing Bullard come down in the box and then blitz and then literally just juke a blocker and not even get touched. It's just, it's incredible. The sense that he has of his body and space. And then, like you say, Clay, being able to play down near the line of scrimmage and then recover back down the field if you need to, or vice versa, you're playing deep third and all of a sudden, you know, they run a little, you know, a little skinny crosser, or they throw a little RPR, RPO game going on, and you're getting down there in the mix, making a play, you know, at or behind the line of scrimmage. It's just amazing, man. And you know, we had issues with tackling in our secondary. That's not a secret. So seeing guys back there that are not shy about laying down the boom or wrapping guys up, it makes me feel really excited about this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I noticed too, like when he was blowing up a smoke route on one of the clips, it would have been real easy when the guy took the jab step outside to hop 2-4 outside and give that receiver a running lane right on the smoke screen. But what Buller did was he got to the point of attack quick, held his ground, and he knew where his leverage was. And you can see it on those plays where he's flying up from the deep post safety to make a tackle. He knows exactly where everyone's at in the defense. And it really, you could just see, I know it was college, and he was a veteran in college. Obviously, that's going to change when he gets to the NFL, and we'll see how quick he can pick it up. But he truly looked like a veteran football player in the way that he was playing within the scheme. Even when he knew there was not help on the outside on an outside run play, and he just got to the point quick and turned that shoulder in just a touch to give himself leverage, because he knew it's on me to set this edge. He knew exactly where the weak spot was in the defense. He erased that weak spot with his athleticism, and then just to have the wherewithal to position his body and like I said, just play schematically sound, setting the edge was just phenomenal, man. And he's not a big guy. I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get some hate for it, but I don't care. The player that kept popping in my mind watching Javon Buller on the highlight reels was Nick Collins. That's how he played. You know, Nick Collins would come up and lay the wood. Nick Collins had the athleticism to go from a post safety and literally pick off, you know, a nine route on the sideline, right? And you've seen Xavier McKinney do it in the highlight reels as well. You know, when we were kind of doing a little chalk talk on that free agent signing. That's the player that sticks out to me the most. He kind of looks like Nick Collins. Now, let's hope he lives up to that. I know I'm going to get some hate for it, but again, if you see it, you got to say it. That's the first thing that came to mind. I got to see Nick Collins play his very first NFL game at Lambeau, and I'll never forget it, man. I was sitting there in the stands, and we got through the first defensive series, and I looked over at Mandy. We wasn't even married at the time. This was way back in the day, and I said, 36 is the fastest player on the field, and he was a rookie. It was just like day one, he belonged, and I'm not going to be surprised if that's how Javon Bullard ends up. And I think he's got a very, very high ceiling for sure. Dave in the chat says, you nailed that, Clayton. Let's see. Magic said, that's what I said. That's awesome. And Smitty said, that's what she said. And Andy A. Pack said, careful, Clayton. You're going to get my expectations way too high. And I definitely don't want to do that, because Nick Collins, I'm a firm believer Nick Collins would have been a Hall of Famer if he hadn't injured his neck. I really believe that. But it's just a lot of fun to watch Buller. The question, the age old question, right, is how are they going to transition to the NFL, right? We can be as excited about all these players, but they may step into the NFL arena and it just not click. They not be able to process quick enough. It's a whole different animal. But based on what I'm seeing, man, it's some people were saying, well, this is kind of how Savage looks. Savage did not look like Buller. You're not gonna convince me that Savage at Maryland looked the way Buller did at Georgia. And there's a much, much higher level of competition at Georgia, you know, that Georgia faced throughout the SEC than obviously our boy Savage would have at Maryland. So I'm excited, though, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Why don't we do this? Let's switch gears here, and let's hop over to the offensive side of the ball, and let's talk a little bit about Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd was the 88th pick in the draft, halfback out of USC. You guys know he was 89 on my board. Buller was 50 on my board. So great pick by Goody there. This one right there in the same ballpark. I'm not saying great pick because my board, you know, said so, Goody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just this lined up with our conservative board, and you see the upside in these players too, man. It's just an absolute home run in my opinion. But here's Marshawn Lloyd from USC. I think this is the halfback of the future for the Packers. I wouldn't be surprised if 2 to 3 years Josh Jacobs isn't on the team, and we're talking about Marshawn Lloyd carrying the load. He's, to me, he looks that dynamic. He was lower on my board, but when you watch the tape, I mean, he's a phenomenal watch. And again, I have a lot of respect for Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast and the lead draft analyst on NFL Network. And he had him as his top running back in the draft. I think he was 7th on my board, but Daniel Jeremiah obviously trumps my opinion. Marshawn Lloyd's a real deal. Let's watch it.
What, man? Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL saying that he felt like this was the best running back prospect in the National Football League this year. There is a lot to like. Last year, 7.1 yards per carry.
The other thing is 25 reps on the bench press. That's like offensive tackle strength. And he runs like it.
I just think, you know, one, he had a very good start in the SEC. He was really good back in the SEC. I think it's his overall ability, not only as a runner, but the ability to catch the ball. I think he's got some return ability. His ability kind of to make people miss. He's got a little juice to him. And then, again, he's 220 pounds. He breaks tackles. So we think his best football is ahead of him, and we're really excited to get him as well.
I'm going to mute it here and run it back. That last run, man.
I was just going to say, or the one before it.
I could watch this all day. Look at this.
Unbelievable.
Watch the linebacker's head go, dang it, right there. Did you see him? Watch the linebacker. He's so mad.
You see how he does it? Like, normally it's a death spike, right? You stop your feet in the backfield. As a running back, you're toast, right? Well, right. He's not stopping his feet. If you really look on these cuts, man, you never really lose his momentum. Yeah. Guys like this are so hard to bring down. The one a couple plays before that when he did the little toe drag, little stutter step in the backfield and then hit the hole and was just gone up the seam. That stuff is just incredible to watch, man. I mean, I'm excited about this running back room, which is says a lot considering, you know, the departure of Aaron Jones. You know, it's like, as devastating as that was, it's like we get Josh Jacobs, we get this killer draft pick, we got my boy Emmanuel Wilson, A.J. Dillon is back for another year. We'll see how things go at camp. Like, this is going to be fun to watch, man. Marshawn Lloyd is – I don't even think it's debatable anymore at this point. He certainly, to me, looks like the best running back of this draft class. It was a pretty running back thin draft class anyways this year, you know. So, I mean, it's hard not to have Marshawn Lloyd at the top of that list.
Definitely. And something else that Goody said there that I didn't catch the first time, he's got some return ability. You got to hit timeout, right? What have we talked about with the new kickoff rules? Many people are saying it might be better suited for a running back because it's more of a running play than a full return play now, right? That might be something they've got in mind there too. Imagine that. Keyshawn Nixon, you've got Jaden Reed, you've got now Marshawn Lloyd that could potentially return kicks. Like, and you, what you said about the running back room, if you had told me back when we let Aaron Jones walk, right, and he goes to Minnesota, that the running back room is going to be stronger without Aaron Jones, I would have said you were smoking crack. But this running back room feels like it's stronger than it was last year. You know, I think Marshawn Lloyd is probably going to be an upgrade over A.J. Dillon. I think Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones are kind of neck and neck. If we get the 2022 version of Josh Jacobs, then there's no denying, yes, he's better than Aaron Jones. If we get the 2023 version, it's hard to argue that. But overall, I do feel like the running back room got a little bit better. And it's going to be exciting to see that, man. He's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, too, Marshawn Lloyd does.
Yeah.
The fact that because he was not the top running back taken, right? So he's going to have a little bit of a chip there. I'm excited to see how he responds to that. If you guys would, we got a herd of people in here right now. If y'all would, if you're on YouTube, do us a big favor. Just hit that like button for us. And feel free to subscribe to the channel if you like this type of content. But by liking the video and sharing it, obviously, it helps boost the algorithm so other Packer fans can find this channel and find this content. Channel's going nuts right now. We appreciate it. It's all because people have just taken a split second to hit that like button for us. We really appreciate y'all doing that for sure. So we got one more we want to hit on here, Tim, and then we'll get ready to wrap this big bear up. That's Tyron Hopper, draft pick taken at number 91, linebacker out of Missouri. You talked about this the entire draft process. You kept bringing up Missouri, man. There's some dogs on Missouri's defense, right? Yep. And you see Rake Straw, if I remember correctly, right? He played for Missouri. Tyron Hopper, we bring him in for a visit. It's like, okay, is that going to be one of those undrafted guys? Goody pulls the trigger at 91. And, this kind of feels like this pick right here really feels like this could possibly be the Jaden Reed type pick. Last year, his PFF grade, really bad. The year before, pretty darn solid. If I remember correctly, let me just double check. I could be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure that's how he lined up. I had him in the 236 spot on the board. So Tyron Hopper, yeah, this year 724th graded linebacker, but the year before 93rd. So he was a top 100 linebacker in 2022. And this is the other thing too that I've heard. You guys may be able to confirm it in the chat. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, his RAS came in the sevens, but it sounded like on the top 30 visit, the Packers clocked him at 4.540. That changes everything, right? So here's a quick video on Tyron Hopper. Again, the 91st pick in the draft, another linebacker just kind of beefing up that linebacker room behind Adrian Cooper and Quay Walker.
With the 91st pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Tyron Hopper, linebacker, Missouri.
Watch Hopper, the range that he has from his inside linebacking spot.
He's really physical. He can run, you know, his stopping power when he takes on ball carries is pretty impressive. Very serious minded guy. You know, his stopping power as a tackle is really impressive.
He is strong enough to take on a blocker that way, but he's also quick enough to jump around him and play. And that's trouble.
And Rattler faces pressure and an unblocked Tyron Hopper.
I love it.
All right, we got to go back to that hit on the quarterback, man. I think it's this next clip right here. Watch this one right here.
Bang. Boom. Hello. And again, you see the head up?
Yep.
Look at that tackling form. Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
Hey, completely vertical. See if we can get it just right.
Look at perfect. That. That's how to tackle, boys and girls, youth football players out there.
That is a lick, boy. And that's Georgia. That's them dogs, right? I'm pretty sure that's Georgia.
It looked like that was Georgia, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Awesome, man. So, again, Goody in his bag, man. I didn't see this one coming. I'm excited to see how it pans out for the Packers. Tyron Hopper just adding some more depth to that linebacker room. So, you, when you look at the linebacker room, too, you kind of take a peek here and think about where we were at pre-draft, right? It was Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie as your starting linebackers, right? And then after that, you had Eric Wilson, Aaron Mosby. Well, now you've got Quay Walker, Adrian Cooper, and then behind them, you've got Tyron Hopper and Isaiah McDuffie. I'm sleeping well now on this linebacker room, Tim. A lot better. I'm going to get a lot better sleep now that you kind of beefed it up just a touch. And there's something that Goody's seen in him. And I know some people, I think, in the chat were talking about probably a special teams player as well. He kind of looks like that. If he's running 4.540, like those reports are saying that he potentially ran at that top 30 visit, man, that's going to play a big role too.
You've seen that on film there in a couple of those plays, that absolutely. closing speed. It's like an extra, it's like afterburners, man. You hit the NOS and you get that little extra push, you know, how you arrive at confrontation is how you handle confrontation, right?
Yep.
I mean, just explosive, man. And like I said, we got tacklers and ball hawks on this defense, and I'm excited. I mean, Hopper looks like, I mean, you talk about depth now at linebacker. Again, taking a quote-unquote weakness, you know, we talked about that, you know, with the departure of Dre Campbell and, you know, some question marks in the linebacker room. How are we going to address this? Are we going to do it in free agency? We had thrown the Bobby Wagner dream around during free agency and thought maybe we'd bring in a veteran for a year or two. And, you know, in true Goody form, he goes and nails it in the draft, man. So it's just another good piece to have. A guy that I think is going to definitely develop and develop well and fit right in. Again, with Halfley's scheme, not that any of us know anything about what's going to go on here in Green Bay in his first year, but if we go based on what this man has said publicly numerous times, we are going to be fast, we are going to be aggressive, and we are going to be looking to create turnovers. And that's exciting. That's what Packer fans have been asking for quite some time, so I'm excited.
Definitely. Doug in the chat says Hopper has a Wayne Simmons vibe to him. Hey, we'll take that.
There we go.
Omer in the chat says, yes, safety linebacker in good shape now. Will Jair earn his paycheck and will Valentine continue to improve? That's the thing, too. Kalen King, someone else mentioned Kalen King earlier here in the chat. And this is someone, I'm telling you, you're going to have to keep your eye on Kalen King. Kalen King, it was Brock in the chat, said Kalen King is going to be like that Reed pick, too. And when you hear that, you go, okay, what do you mean by that, right? He was in the 164 spot on my big board. And the thing that brought him down with Kalen King was the 2024 grade. He was the 708th graded cornerback, right? But if you go back to 2022, Tim, the eighth 8th highest graded cornerback in all of college football. Like, wow. Legit top 10 cornerback the year before he came out in the draft. So this I can see what you mean by that. Hey, that might be more of that Jaden Reed type pick where you go back to the 2022 tape and go, all right, this dude was an absolute stud. And you turn around and you get him at 255. You talk about a chip being on that dude's shoulder. I think it was Sauce Gardner on Twitter popped up, put a tweet out and said they sleeping hard on Kalen King. I mean, he sees something there for sure. So I'm excited to see what he can do as well, man. It's going to be a good year. We got so much youth. We got a lot of veteran presence coming back too. This is the Jordan Love-led team. Jordan Love is just phenomenal in the second half of the season last year. It's going to be a blast to see how they all come out and respond, man. I think that's pretty much it, Tim. We're at the 57-minute mark. We have 3-4 other videos we could hit on, but we'll go ahead and move out right here. I'll try to save the others and make a note for tomorrow. We had a quick little clip from Coach LaFleur sitting down with Larry that was really good. And then we were going to also get into a little Catano Ladapo as well, but ran out of time. So no free advertisement for a Home Depot tonight. You know what I'm saying? So anything else, man, you got before we wrap up?
No, I agree, man, about the Kalen King pick. You know, it'll be nice to see, you know, he won't be the first 7th round guy that makes history in Lambeau, but certainly will be entertaining to see. I was wondering if we were going to even take a corner for a while, and I'm glad that we did. And I'm glad that he fell to us. I think that's a big reason why Goody probably pulled the trigger there, just because of the fact that he was on the board in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. Brock in the chat said Jaden Reed and Kalen King were DMing each other months before the draft. That's awesome. Might have been a little extra recruiting there, right? Maybe now,
can you imagine who do you think's going to step on a Reinitschke field during camp and look right over at Kalen King and go, come on.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be Jaden Reed. Right. Those guys are going to be working. I can't wait to see that.
I tell you, man, competition's absolutely huge. It's so important. And that's something that had been lacking with the Packers for several years. It was just kind of, all right, here's the starters. Everybody settle in. You know, you had the Rodgers effect. And you guys know I'm not dogging Rodgers. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. But Aaron Rodgers, it was like a, hey, the window's open. Get me guys that know what they're doing.
Yep.
We're not going to focus on the youth right now. Now it's just, hey, everybody go out there and earn your spot. You got to earn it every single day. It's going to be a good year, man. I'm fired up for it. Let me give a quick shout out to our newest Patreon member, and that's Travis Medley. Appreciate you supporting the show, buddy. I know before that we had several happening too, but we didn't make it in Nebraska Rev. And G-Noise, appreciate y'all supporting us. And a special shout-out who upped their Patreon donation there, and that was our buddy Nodak Mike. Really appreciate the kind words that you said in the chat there earlier today. Thank you so much for supporting us. And we'll make sure that all the Patreon members, whoever is a Patreon member, we're going to put you on the wheel and give away that autographed Paul Hornung football that Jacob just showed you guys. So appreciate Papa Bus donating that to the show. We got a lot of fans, man. What's really cool, we got a lot of older fans, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful. I think it's awesome that we connect with some of the older crowd, Tim, the people that are, you know, 50, 60 years old, because we do dive into the history. We want to make sure that we're paying respect to all those Packer, not just Packer players, but Packer fans. You know, anytime I hear about a Packer fan, hey, I've been a Packer fan since the 60s. And there's still a fan. It's like, you sat through the 70s and 80s, yep. Right? You held that banner up before the great years came back. We all as fans, I feel like we owe you some gratitude there, you know, and really appreciate that. But again, to Jacob's pops, appreciate you donating that football. We'll give that away. We'll do that here in the next couple of weeks for sure. And again, anybody who's a Patreon member, we'll make sure that you are entered into that. It's just a way for us to give back to you all for supporting the show. So with that being said, we're going to get out of here. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow for PTA Live at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. There's a chance we have some. Thank you for making us part of your day. And there's a chance of some weather rolling through. If that happens and I get kind of rained out, I may go live mid-afternoon. We'll see what happens. I just don't want it to be something where we have a day where we do 2 or 3 episodes and then go a couple of days without one. We definitely want to do one daily to keep things consistent for y'all. But can't thank y'all enough. Like I said, we had a herd of people in here, had like, I don't know, 230 on Twitter. We had over, I think at one point, over 140 on YouTube. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us this afternoon. We will see y'all tomorrow. As always, let's go out and be the change that we want to see in the world. And go, Pat, go.
It's the power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.